أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة
A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Almighty God, Allah, most gracious, most merciful, welcome once again to the safe zone. My name is Saifuddin Hassan, and I greet you with the greeting of peace, the greeting of all the prophets of God, of Adam, Noah, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and Muhammad. Peace be upon all of them. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. The purpose of our show is to present the noble teachings of Islam as revealed in the Quran, the final revelation from Almighty God, and by the example of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, who was born in Arabia over 1,400 years ago. Despite the fact that over one-fifth of the world's population is Muslim, Islam is often distorted, misunderstood, and misrepresented in contemporary Western society. We pray that our show will help shed some light on Islam and dispel any commonly held misconceptions that have ignited bigotry, hatred, and prejudice. We pray that people of all faiths and ideologies will come together and join us in making this world one of toleration, understanding, and peace. Islam, what is Islam? Islam is an Arabic word which is derived from the Arabic roots of Silm and Salam. These terms mean submission, obedience, and peace. As a way of life, Islam calls for complete submission to the will of Almighty God Allah in order to obtain peace. A Muslim is one who freely and willingly accepts the supreme power of Almighty God Allah and strives to organize his or her life in accordance with the teachings and guidance of Almighty God. Mohammedanism is a misnomer to Islam and offends the very spirit of Islam, for Muslims do not worship the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. Islam is not a new way of life, but it is the same message that Almighty God Allah revealed from time to time to all of his prophets and messengers from the time of Adam to the last prophet, Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. Allah has said in the Quran to say, "We believe in Allah, God, and that was revealed to us, and that was revealed to Abraham, Ismail, Isaac, Jacob, and the tribes, and that which was given to Moses and Jesus and to all the prophets from their Lord. We make no distinction between one and another of them, and we bow our wills to God in Islam. As Muslims, we believe the books and of the former prophets were either lost or changed. The final revelation of Islam is only Islam in its comprehensive, complete, and final form." Before we get into our topic of discussion today, I just wanted to make a clear point. First of all, our condolences. I haven't been able to make it to my radio show over the past couple of weeks. So I just wanted to say my condolences to the people of Las Vegas after this horrific mass shooting, the worst mass shooting in the United States. But I wanted to kind of throw a little spin on this topic because, you know, once as a Muslim, as an African-American, you know, back in the day, you know, when someone was killed in this country, most of us as African-Americans, we would say, "Oh, my God, I hope he wasn't black," because of the stereotypes that, you know, was meted out against African-Americans in this country because of the violence and so forth and so on. And now, you know, as a Muslim, I'm pretty much saying the same thing. Whenever there's an act of violence in our country or throughout the world, the first thing I'm thinking, I'm like, "Oh, my God, I hope he's not a Muslim," because one of the things that we're seeing in our society and throughout the world is that whenever a Muslim does something, he's not crazy. He's, he's a terrorist. He's a mass murderer. He's a killer. you know, but whenever someone else does it, for example, when African Americans or Latinos do it, you know, they're considered thugs or criminals, so lock them up. You know, when a Muslim does it, he's a terrorist. But when someone of white America, a white American does something, an act of terrorism, it's always, oh, you know, he's crazy, you know, so do nothing. You know, he just got some mental health problems. We didn't know this, you know, we're surprised at this happening. So this is probably the case with most situations. But because of, you know, unfortunately, white privilege in our society, that we have, you know, pretty much forgotten that the majority of the terrorist acts that are committed in this country are by white supremacists. Only 6% of the terrorist acts in this country have been committed by Muslims. Only 2% in the UK, in the United Kingdom. So there's a disproportionate amount of, you know, propaganda, you know, against peoples of color in this country. And, you know, it's time for it to stop. It's time to call a spade a spade. Never did they call this young man who went in front of the, you know, Facebook with all types of, you know, racist paraphernalia. You know, he went into a church and he killed 6 or 9 African-Americans. Never was he considered a terrorist, even though he's part of a terrorist organization. And one of the things that we have to realize that the FBI have mainly, and they don't like to put it out there, but I know people in law enforcement, and the majority of what they say that they are looking for are male, white males between the age of 18 and 25. So this is what they're looking at. This is who they're really looking at, but they're using Islam and Muslims almost as a scapegoat. You know, whenever something happens like this, they don't want to admit that people of all colors, all races commit acts of terror, commit murder, commit all of these heinous crimes. And it has nothing to do with anyone's religion or religious background, but always for Muslims, it's always, you know, whenever a Muslim does it, it doesn't matter, you know, whether he murders someone or kills someone. We have thousands of murders in this society every single day. Every year, there are thousands of murders, but no one says, oh, this is a Christian society, so it must be a Christian or a Jew or anyone, Hindu or Buddhist. Never. Only with Islam. So I just wanted to mention that because this situation has gotten completely out of hand, and we just want to be treated fairly, just like everybody else. But one of the things that I wanted to talk about today, because of this situation that we are living in this world today, and I like to say Earth, Wind, and Fire said it best in 1972 when they said in one of their songs that we're living in the last days and times. As a matter of fact, one of their albums was labeled Last Days and Times, you know. So I remember this when I was a kid. I was 13 years old back then, and you're listening, you know, Earth, Wind, and Fire was one of the most popular music groups at the time when I was growing up. But I never understood what they were talking about, you know, when they said we're living in the last days and times. But now, as a Muslim, I completely understand what they're talking about. And I just want to talk about this topic of discussion today because this is something that we as human beings, no matter what we may think, no matter what we may believe, we are living in some very crucial times. We're living in some very serious times. So one of the things that Almighty God, Allah, has mentioned in the Quran, he says, يَسْأَلُونَكَ أَعُوذِ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ الشَّيْطَانِ يَسْأَلُونَكَ أَنَ السَّاعَةِ أَيَّانَ مُرْسَاهَا قُلْ إِنَّمَا إِلْمُهَا عِنْدَ رَبِّي. Allah says that, and they ask thee about the appointed time, the hour, when will be its term? That answer is with God alone. So in Islam, we've had so many people who have predicted the last hour, the last days. We've had the Jehovah Witnesses. They've said that, you know, the world is going to end many times. We had Y2K in 2000. We've had President Reagan predict the end of time. We're having some of the vice president, Al Gore, with the global warming and all of these things predicting the end of time. We just had on September 23rd, someone saying the planet X was going to hit the Earth and that was going to end the world. This was just last month. So as we said, no one knows the hour. And even Jesus, may peace and blessing be upon him, he said in Matthew, and I hope I can quote it, he said in Mark 13:32 and Matthew 24:36 that no one knows the hour, not the Son nor the angels in heaven, only the Father. So number one, Jesus is saying he didn't know the hour. And this proves to me as a Muslim, because we believe Jesus was a prophet of God, and we've been wanting to talk about this in the last few shows. But Jesus is saying, I don't know the hour. So only God knows the hour. He said, only God knows, only the Father. So this to me shows very clearly Jesus is not God, because God knows everything. God knows, you know, as we believe, he knows the leaf that even falls from the tree. So God is the one that knows everything. And Jesus, he said, I can of myself do nothing. that he needed God's help for something. So Jesus, as we believe, as Muslims, is an almighty servant of God, one of the greatest prophets of God, who cured the leper, healed the blind, raised the dead, and he will return, bi-ithnillah, which we'll talk about a little bit briefly today. But one of the things when the angel Gabriel, the angel Jibril, as we call him, the angel Gabriel, came to the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, and he asked him about Islam. And so he said, what is Islam? And so the Prophet Muhammad said, Islam is to believe in, you know, to believe that there is one God and that the Muhammad is the messenger of God. To pray five times a day, to give zakah or the poor due, charity, and to fast during the month of Ramadan, the ninth month of the Muslim lunar calendar, and to make Hajj or pilgrimage to the holy city of Mecca once in a lifetime, if you have the ability to do so. So then he said, what is Iman? And then the Prophet Muhammad said, Iman is to believe in Allah, his angels, his books, his prophets, the divine decree, and the life after death. And then he said, what is Ihsan? And he said, Ihsan is to believe that Allah sees you, even though you don't see Allah. And the final thing he said, then tell me about Matta Sa'a. He said, tell me, when is the Sa'a? When is the hour? And the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, said to the angel Jibril, the angel Gabriel, that the questioner knows more than the one being questioned. So he then said, then tell me about its signs. And the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, said that the poor, destitute desert Arab will start to build tall, lofty buildings. And he said the female slave will give birth to her mistress. So in Islam, we don't know the hour, but the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, and all the prophets of God, Jesus, Moses, all of them told their followers about the signs of the last days. And so this is what we're going to focus on today, the signs of the last days, because people, if you don't believe in God or anything, we're going to tell you some of the signs that the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, predicted over 1,400 years ago, and you're going to say, whoa, this is pretty deep. You know, that we are living in those times that all, as we Muslims believe, there are major signs and minor signs. And we as Muslims believe that all the minor signs pretty much are here, and we're living them in these times. So I just wanted to reiterate that because Jesus, peace and blessings be upon him, he said he didn't know the hour. The Prophet Muhammad didn't know the hour. They only knew the signs of God, and that's what they told their followers about. But one of the two signs that the Prophet, the first two things that he said, that the female mistress will, the female slave will give birth to her mistress. And I always kind of like felt, what does this hadith mean? What does this saying of the Prophet Muhammad mean? And all of our scholars are saying that this means that the children will have no respect for their parents, that the children will think that they're the adults. And we're living in these times now where children don't even care. Children have no respect for their elders. When I was growing up, even in my times, even the guys who were gangbangers in Philly, you know, and they were on the corner drinking wine, you know, and cursing and everything. When my mother would walk by, they would say, oh, I'm sorry, Miss Johnson. How you doing, Miss Johnson? You know, I'm sorry, you know, I'm saying those words. I'm sorry to be drinking alcohol. So they had respect. But these young people today, many of them have no regard, no respect for their parents and their elders. And the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, said that the poor, destitute desert Arab will be competing in building tall, lofty buildings. And once again, we're seeing it right before our eyes that the people in Arabia, for example, in the Gulf, the richest countries in the world, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Kuwait, Dubai, the tallest building in the world today is in Dubai. And Saudi Arabia is planning on building the tallest building in the world in Jeddah. So 100 years ago, these countries were nothing but desert. They were nothing but desert Arabs. They were nothing but people living in the desert. And now all of a sudden, they're the richest countries in the world, building resorts and building buildings and building islands and all of these different things. And the Prophet Muhammad said that one of the things, they will try to make the deserts green. And this is what they're trying to do. In Dubai, they're trying to build a bubble country, a bubble city where it's under the bubble, where, you know, all the grass and all the beautiful things, where you can kind of regulate the climate, you know. So this is what's happening in the world today. But we're going to just go over a few signs of the last days, and then we're going to talk about the major signs, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, not to get into the extent of what Muslims believe as far as what will happen to the Muslims, we'll talk a few things about that, but we want to talk about some of the things that affects human beings in general. But the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, said one thing that people would do: they will follow a way of life other than mine and give guidance other than mine. I fear for my people, only the leaders who lead them astray. Before the last hour, there will be great liars. So beware of them. When the most wicked member of a tribe becomes its ruler, and the most worthless member of the community becomes its leader, and a man is respected through fear of the evil he may do, and leadership is given to people who are unworthy of it, expect the last hour. So this is one of the things that he mentioned that would happen to our community in particular. But this, these few things that he's mentioning now, this will be what will happen to people in general. And he said that men would dress like women and women would dress like men. And already this has come to pass. We see it happening. That is not anything, you know, new in the world to see, you know, someone dressed as a woman and someone dressed as a man. We have all this cross-gender things that are going on in the world today. He said that homosexuality and lesbianism will become commonplace, and that is now happening before our eyes. That children will be born outside of marriage will become the commonplace. And in our country today, about 50% of the children now are born outside of marriage, outside of wedlock. So children are growing up now in one-parent households, with most of the time with mothers. Young boys don't have fathers. So this is becoming a major factor in what is happening in our society today, where children aren't respecting their parents. They don't have two-parent households where they're able to get the nurturing of the mother and the strict, discipline of the father. So we're finding this, you know, happening all over the world. Fornication and adultery will become commonplace. And he said that so much so, when it becomes common, that you will have diseases from which your forefathers have never seen before. And now today we have God knows how many types of sexually transmitted diseases. We have a disease that kills people called AIDS. So we're having all these things as a repercussion of what we as human beings are doing, not being obeying our Creator. So all I'm saying is, brothers and sisters out there, we can do what we want to do. We are human beings. We have the freedom to choose. We have the freedom of choice. However, when we see the repercussions of what our actions are doing, and a lot of times, because Satan, God says in the Quran that Satan has made their deeds seem fair seeming. So therefore, people don't realize what they're doing has become such a problem. Disproportion of men and women to such an extent that one man would have to maintain 50 women. Now, it hasn't gotten to that point yet. But in some, you know, just look at America, in some cities, because of, you know, the actual propensity for a fetus is to be female. So more females are born than men, period. That's the statistics. More female infants live longer than males. So there's an immortality rate amongst males that are not amongst females. So females are stronger at birth. That females live longer than male infants. So more male infants die. So there's already a disproportionate amount of females at the beginning. Then you have males being killed at war, and you have males being killed on the streets, and you have homosexuality, and you have men being arrested, millions of men in jail. So in some cities, especially in the African-American community, they're like 10 women to one man, you know. So, you know, now women are resorting to other things like lesbianism and so forth and so on. So this is something that is really happening right before our eyes. The Prophet Muhammad also said that there will be a universal consumption of alcoholic beverages, the mother of all evils. And most of the people today, they don't even care. We're going to talk about alcohol and drugs and intoxicants in one of our shows in the future, because we're facing now an epidemic in our society, not only of drugs. There's a drug heroin epidemic in New Haven and in Connecticut. But there's also a problem with alcohol addiction. And most people, they feel alcohol is legal. It's no big deal. Don't drink and drive. All these things, you know, this is what we're hearing every day with when we're being bombarded with Budweiser and Bud Light commercials every day on TV, and then they're telling people don't drink and drive. Well, it's not happening because Mothers Against Drunk Driving and all these people who have come together to stop this situation are very frustrated, because in one thing you're saying, oh, drink, you know, properly, you know, don't drink too much, don't drink and drive. But the whole idea of alcoholism has become a major problem, and it is the biggest addiction in our society today. So, and God says that the Prophet Muhammad said that religious knowledge would disappear, time would move rapidly. How many times do we say, oh my God, you know, something happened 5 years ago, it just seemed like it was yesterday. you know, or as the Prophet Muhammad said, you know, a day would be like an hour, an hour would be like a minute, and a minute would be like a second. So this is the way that time is moving so fast right now. He said there will be prevalent killing, haraj, you know, killing, so much so that the people, the person who killed the person don't know why he killed him, and the person being killed don't know why he's being killed. So this is the prevalence of murder in the world today. Thousands and thousands of people being killed, no regard for human life whatsoever amongst human beings. So we can kill somebody, step on their sneakers. You know, just the other day, I'm watching TV, the news, and some kids pulled a prank on someone, you know, made fun of them. They drove by in Chicago, and they shot the car up and killed two teenagers. So this is the random type of killing and murder that we're seeing where no people have the sanctity of life. And the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, said, nothing will remain of Islam but the name. And this is what's happening in the Muslim world, you know. So we won't get into that because we want to continue to talk about the things that are affecting us as human beings. Universal consumption of riba or interest. And people don't think that this is a big deal. But when we look at society, one of the things that Jesus, peace and blessings be upon him, did when the people were practicing riba or interest in the temple, what did Jesus do, peace and blessings be upon him? He grabbed a stick, he wrapped a rope around it, and he beat them out of the temple. Why? Because interest is dhulm. Interest is oppression. That this is how the rich, you know, people continue to stay rich, and the poor people continue to stay poor. Why? Because there's a disproportionate amount of wealth, where the rich have the wealth, so they're able to buy something with money, with cash. So if they want to go buy a house, they buy it with cash. But somebody like you and me who wants to buy a house, you know, you have to pay riba. So you pay, for example, a house costs $150,000. By the time you finish paying for it, it's $450,000. And then you're paying it for 30 years. So you never get out of debt. So this is what the bankers and all these people, they want to keep us in debt. They want to make sure we stay poor and we don't have anything and they stay rich. So this is why all the prophets of God preached against interest, and they talked about charity and giving and helping and all of these things, because this is a way that brings about oppression and brings about economic injustice in society. So we're going to take a quick break if we can for a couple of minutes. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with the Safe Zone with Saif Hassan. And we're going to play a little something in regards to dealing with some of the biases against Muslims in this society when it comes to terrorism and violence.
By now, you've all heard of the recent thwarted terror attack in America, right? Early on the morning of Friday, October 4th, a man quietly placed a bag full of explosives, bullets, and sharp nails, along with a timed detonator set for 6 a.m. near the entrance to the terminal at Asheville Regional Airport in North Carolina. You all heard about that, right? I mean, the area was evacuated. Bomb technicians came in to neutralize the IED. Still not ringing a bell? That's surprising. They even caught the would-be terrorist, who confessed to planting the bombs in hopes of preparing to fight a war on U.S. soil. Oh, maybe you haven't heard of him because Michael Christopher Estes, the would-be mass murderer, is white. Not Muslim or brown, no connections to ISIS, no recent visits to mosques that could point towards violent homegrown extremism as the cause. And so there's no national terror bulletin airing every 5 minutes across local and cable news channels. No tweets from Commander-in-Chief Trump condemning the attack and congratulating the police for their commendable efforts. No five-person panel to look into what might have driven Mr. Estes to do such a thing while tying his religious beliefs to his act of violence. Nothing. Was it because he was white and doesn't fit the current narrative of what a terrorist should look like? Don't be mistaken. This was an act of terror. Pure and simple. Should we have a national circus every time something like this happens? I don't think so. But in this case, the media's silence is stunning. Just imagine if Michael were black, or if Mikhail Muhammad Estes, a convert to Islam, had done it. Or Miguel Christopher Estes, undocumented immigrant. Would you have heard about him then?
I'll see people of Middle Eastern descent getting pulled, you know, random selections, beeping through the machine. And then Ebola happened, and all of a sudden the focus shift. focus shifted. Now it was Africans getting pulled aside, Africans waiting. Middle Easterners were cruising through security. And then almost as quickly as it started, it flipped back overnight. And I'll never forget when it happened. Right after the Charlie Hebdo attack in Paris. That attack happened, and almost the next day, Ebola wasn't a thing anymore. Middle Easterners were back in the spotlight. Normal service had been resumed. Because after Charlie Hebdo, I would walk through airports and no one gave a damn. They didn't care about me, where I was from, nor the bananas in my bag. I just cruised through security. Charlie Hebdo. Terrorist attack in France. Everyone led with it. CNN, breaking news, terrorists have attacked Charlie Hebdo headquarters. BBC, and in breaking news, unconfirmed reports saying 12 people have been killed by terrorists who have attacked. Everyone said they were terrorists. It was weird to me because we didn't know that they were terrorists. We just knew that they were Middle Eastern. But immediately we went to terrorists. Because if you're Middle Eastern, that's a terrorist. That's the world we live in now. Yeah. If you're Middle Eastern, terrorism is your trademark. It's so crazy how easy it is to get people to hate a group of people. Because that's what happened. Charlie Hebdo, and then everyone started saying things about Muslims. These damn Muslims. We gotta stop Islam. That's what we gotta do. We gotta stop these Islamists. These Muslims. Now, I'm not saying all Muslims are terrorists, but all terrorists are Muslims. It sounds really smart, doesn't it? Sounds really smart. But it's not. It's stupid and it's hate speech. That's what it is. It really is. Terrorism is not a race, it's an act. It evolved over time. Yes, right now we're dealing with extremism, Islamic terror in some parts of the world. But if you go to other parts of the world and ask them what a terrorist is, they'll show you a different face. You go to England 20 years ago and you said, well, what was a terrorist? They show you a drunk Irishman. Right? I didn't need to say drunk, I could have just said Irishman. There was a time when Nelson Mandela was labeled a terrorist. Like, terrorism is an act, it's not a face. People say these things. Well, these Muslims, you gotta admit, there's an awful lot of them. Awful lot of them doing the same thing. You're like, yeah, but you know who's not a terrorist? Most Muslims. Yeah. Most Muslims are not terrorists. I'm not even Muslim, but it gets to me because I'm like, most Muslim people are not terrorists. You know how you know this? Because we're still alive. Yeah. They've had ample opportunity to take us out, people. There's 1 billion Muslim people on the planet. They've had every chance. They could have killed us using those falafels they sell us after midnight when we come out of the club. They could have wiped us all out. But they're killer kebabs.
Once again, we appreciate Trevor Noah for his... It's comic relief there about Islam and Muslims. And alhamdulillah, once again, you're listening to The Safe Zone. My name is Saifuddin Hassan, your host, and greeting you with the greeting of Islam, the greeting of peace. Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. And today we're talking a little bit about the last days and times and just some of the signs of the last days. And we were just speaking about that a few minutes ago. And we're going to continue talking about the last days and times, inshallah, which is something very common, not only to Muslims, but to Christians and Jews, the people of the monotheistic faith, that all of the prophets, Moses, Jesus, Aaron, Solomon, David, all the way back to Adam, alayhi salam, peace be upon all of them talked about the signs of the sa'a, alimatu sa'a, the signs of the last days. So we're going to continue talking a little bit more, and then hopefully people can come to their own conclusions. But these are some of the signs that the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, said would inflict humanity towards the end of time. And he, peace and blessings be upon him, said that children will be filled with rage, rain will be acidic. And we know there's acid rain, we've heard of this. And I just want you to remember, this is 1400 years ago, when the people were dressing a certain way. I mean, not only the Muslims, but everyone on earth. You didn't see women walking around with their legs showing, their thighs showing, or unless you were in some primitive society, that throughout the world, Muslims, Christians, and Jews, if you go in the Middle East and Africa and all parts of the world today that haven't been sort of westernized, you'll see the people almost looking the same, dressing alike, wearing the same clothing, with robes and women covering their hair. And even the Bible says, that a woman is cursed if she doesn't, cover her hair when she prays. So this is why Seventh Day Adventists and different Christian religious denominations, Jewish women, they still cover their hair. You know, so they're making like Islam is some boogeyman thing with women covering when Jesus' mother, the mother of Mary, she dressed just like this. The nuns, when you saw them in their in the monasteries and the nunneries, they dressed just like Muslims because this was a aspect of modesty. But now we see that women are just dressing, however they want to dress, bikinis and topless beaches and all of this stuff. So human beings have totally kind of like morally become degraded. So he said also, Prophet Muhammad said, episodes of sudden death. And we know that people are dropping dead like crazy now. Heart attacks, strokes, all types of things that are inflicting people today that didn't happen in those times. And he said people will walk in the marketplace with their thighs showing. And what I'm saying is, brothers and sisters, you can imagine, because this is 1,400 years ago when the people weren't dressing like this. Everybody, whether you're Muslim, Christian, atheist, people dressed modestly back then. Unless, as I said, you lived in some primitive society in the jungle somewhere, then you might see people dressing like that. But for the most part, civilization dressed, with dignity. And one Native American, he said, when the Europeans came to the West, the Western Hemisphere, they said, put your clothes on. And he said, now they're telling us to take our clothes off. So this is how things change. The human beings, they want to do what they want to do and disobey their creator. So one day they do this, one day they do that, instead of following, as the Prophet Muhammad or the Quran says, the Sunnah of God, which never changes. The tradition of God doesn't change, So we're going to continue that great distances, the Prophet Muhammad said, will be traveled in short spans of time. So this is talking about more than likely about airplanes. You can go from one end of the earth to the other in 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 or 5 hours, where it took days to do this back in the day. And one of the hadiths of the Prophet Muhammad, he said that the Dajjal, the Antichrist, or the who we call the false Messiah, Messiah Dajjal, because we as Muslims, which we'll talk about, we believe that Jesus is the Messiah, just like Christians believe that Jesus was the Messiah and that he will return. And when the Prophet Muhammad described the Dajjal, he tried to describe him in a way that the people would understand. He said that he will be flying on a donkey with wide, ears, with long ears. So he was more than likely trying to describe to them an airplane, which they couldn't fathom at that time. They couldn't even imagine probably what an airplane would be 1,400 years ago. So he said great distances will be traveled in short periods of time. He said that they will have, that the people will wear music on their heads. Now you got Beats and all of these different headphones and everybody's walking around listening to music. He said this would happen over 1,400 years ago. Nobody had Beats in Arabia in the desert at that time. Okay. The leader of the people will be the worst of them. Something that's happened. Female singers and musical instruments become popular. People will dance late into the night. Most people don't start partying in America until 10, 11, 12 o'clock, and they will stay up all night partying. This didn't happen back then in these times. Time will pass rapidly, as we mentioned. Earthquakes will increase. We see it happening all over the world. All of these hurricanes and earthquakes and tornadoes and all of these natural occurrences happening that are taking, the world by storm. There will be attempts, as we said, to make the desert green. The appearance of false messengers, 30 Dajjals or Antichrist or whatever you want to call it will appear. Women will be clothed yet naked and they will sway. They will be swaying, and more than likely the Prophet Muhammad said when they will be swaying, he's talking about high heels and stilettos and all of these things that women are wearing today. They will tempt men and women will be tempted by them and they will all take each other to the hellfire, as the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, said. So the women will be clothed yet naked. And we see this. More than likely, when you see someone naked, it's not a big deal. But when you see women dressed provocatively as they do today and all of these bikinis and hot pants that they used to wear in my time and mini skirts and all of these things that they're wearing, it is definitely temptation at its fullest. So, and this is not to say, because, of course, we have the freedom to choose. you know, that women should not be harmed or anything of this nature. If a woman wants to dress that way, because one guy, Robert Spencer, was saying that Islam, you know, it makes a woman cover, it forces them to cover. So, you know, this is misogynistic, you know, so if she doesn't wear this type of dress, then she can be killed. This stuff is so un-Islamic and so much of a lie that these people are perpetrating about Islam. You know, so you go online today, brothers and sisters. So if you want to know about Islam, come to the Muslims. Don't listen to these Islamophobes on the radio, on the internet, who are saying just outright lies about Islam. Have nothing to do with Muslims whatsoever. That a woman was strangled, a young girl was strangled by the hijab that she wouldn't wear. This is completely forbidden in Islam. If someone chooses not to wear this, then yes, there could be an issue. There could be, you know, the followers or somebody could admonish them or whatever. But killing someone in Islamic societies for not wearing a hijab, this is totally outrageous and totally does not happen in Muslim societies. So, okay, so we're going to get back to our topic. And it will say that the women will enter the workforce out of love for this world, that family ties will be broken. There will be women of childbearing age who will no longer give birth. So this is just, these are just some of the signs of the last days. We probably talked about maybe 30 or 40 of them, which are actually we're seeing right before our eyes. Before we finish today, we want to talk about, because as I said, in Islam, there are minor and there are major signs. And the major signs, we haven't seen them yet. And our Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, said, once the major signs come, then it's going to come very quickly and very rapidly. So Allah's messenger, the Prophet Muhammad, came to us all of a sudden, this is a hadith that I'm going to read, that we were busy in the discussion. And he asked, what are you discussing? The companions replied, we are discussing the last hour, the sa'ah. Thereupon he said, it will not come until you see 10 signs. And the connection, he made a mention of the smoke, the Dajjal, the false prophet, the Antichrist, the beast, the rising of the sun from the west, the descent of Isa, son of Maryam, Jesus, the son of Mary, Gog and Magog, sinking of the earth in three places, one in the east, one in the west, and one in Arabia, and the end of which fire would burn forth from Yemen and would drive people to the place of their assembly. So one of the things that the Prophet Muhammad mentioned, peace and blessing be upon him, is the descent of the Dajjal, the Antichrist, or the false Messiah. And he said, peace and blessing be upon him, that every prophet told their people, their followers, about the Dajjal. And he said that there will be no greater fitna, no greater trial, no greater tribulation for human beings than the Dajjal, or the Antichrist. And as Muslims, and I just want to say this, and hopefully next week we're going to talk about the descent of Isa alayhi salam, Jesus, peace and blessings be upon him, the son of Mary. We're going to talk a little bit about Jesus, peace and blessings be upon him, and we're going to talk about the Sa'ah, or the final days where Jesus will come. He will kill the Antichrist, or the Messiah, the false Messiah. But this false Messiah will be able to perform miracles and do all of these different things. You know, as we said, the Prophet Muhammad said he will be able to go to one end to the other very rapidly, and he will be on a donkey with long ears, like he will fly like a jet airplane very quickly from one end of the earth to the other. And the only place he will not be able, places he will not be able to enter, is Mecca and Medina. But he will go to every place on the earth, and everyone will follow him because he will perform miracles. He will do all types of things that people will say, oh, wow, this man, you know, he's performing all these miracles, all of these different things. And then ultimately he will say he is God. And then we believe that Jesus, peace and blessings be upon him, will descend. That he will descend in a place in Damascus, in Damascus, in the white masjid, and he will come trickling down with two angels. Now I know people say, oh man, you know, how is Jesus coming back? As Muslims, we believe in his return because we don't believe he was crucified. We believe that Jesus, God raised him up, because the thing about the cross, or putting someone on the cross, was a curse. Even the Bible says in Hosea that cursed be those who are hung and crucified, that are hung from the tree, that are crucified. So God saved Jesus because, number one, he would have been looked upon. Oh, my God, how could God's messenger be crucified? You know, so the people would have said negative things. So God said he raised him up, you know, and that he will return, and that he will live for a period of 45 years on the earth, that he will marry, that he will slay the Antichrist, that he will establish justice on the earth, somewhat that you have never seen in before, peace and justice on the earth, that the animals will be able to walk with one another, that there will be no war, there will be nothing on the earth at that time when Jesus returns. And some people may say, well, why not the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him? And one of the reasons why we believe that it is Jesus that will return is because he is probably the most controversial figure in the history of mankind. Because some people believe he's God. Some people believe he's the Son of God. Some people don't believe in him at all. You know, some people say he's just someone that, you know, that they made up, that he's a fiction. He's fiction. He's a myth. But as Muslims, we believe in Jesus, that he raised the dead. He cured the blind, you know, raised the dead bi-ithnillah, by the leave of God. So I think it's time we're up. Our time is about up right now. So as I said, next week, we're going to talk a little bit more about Jesus and the Muslim belief in Jesus. Peace and blessings be upon him. And we're going to end with that. And we would like to thank you all for tuning in to The Safe Zone. My name is Saifuddin Hassan, and I greet you once again with the greeting of peace. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. Thank you.
Peace be with you. My name is Zain Beeker from South Africa. Our world knows too much pain, too much hatred, and too much suffering. And our condition will never change until we change what's within ourselves. So let's spark that change. First, we need the love.
As we sail across the sea of life, so much pain, warring divides. It's a shame we don't see